Jesus in our hearts today, in our souls, in our minds. And not just in our lives, but so that we can change the world around us. Amen. But that's what we're going to talk about today. Those that are online, your message today is titled, Passion's Power. The Passion Before the Passion. The Passion Before the Passion. Y'all know what that second passion is, right? Don't you? That's Jesus' passion when he went to the cross for us. Amen. And your scripture today again here in a minute. But those are lines. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. John 11, 1 through 45. We'll get that there here in a minute. But y'all at home, go ahead and pull that up with us right now. Amen. Give me a thumbs up in the comments when you get there. But I'm going to give you a little history. Y'all like history, right? Especially on Sundays, because that's a long message, right? This Sunday's called Passion Sunday because of the church. Y'all know who the church is, right? Because us, we, the people. Amen. Because the church begins on this day to mark the sufferings of our Redeemer in chief. And putting that in our main thoughts in our lives. It's the last Sunday before Holy Week. Next Sunday starts. What's next Sunday title? Somebody tell me. What is it? Palm. Thank you. Somebody at home. Type it's Palm Sunday, people. But next Sunday is Palm Sunday. Amen. Starts Holy Week. And we are traveling quickly, aren't we? Through our Lent season this year. Seems like we're moving faster and faster. It only seems like we're on week one or two. We are in week five. Amen. But in this, the fifth Sunday of Lent, the church invites us to turn our attention to the realities that are perhaps the most scandalous in the human experience. And that's the death of a loved one. In this gospel, we see all those who are being supportive of the family, don't we? We all see everybody's being supportive of Martha and Mary. At the moment that their brother, y'all remember the brother's name? What was the brother's name? Somebody tell me. Lazarus. Somebody give me a Lazarus in the comments or watch it online. But they were all being supportive, wasn't we? When their brother died. He died. Amen. It's called Passion Sunday. Today is called Passion Sunday. It's the fifth Sunday of Lent. It marks a deeper time for us in our Lent season. The Old Testament prophet, Ezekiel, in 37, 12 through 14, is taken from a chapter about pouring forth the Spirit upon the dry bones in the valley of his vision. The prophet speaks of restoration through an act of God. Amen? Through the Spirit. And that was through him that the people were first saved from their oppressions in Egypt. And by his power, they were saved again and restored as the people of God. The symbolic meaning of this reading is the resurrection of the people to a new life. Our resurrection, amen? To a new life. A theme clearly reiterated in succeeding apocalyptic literature. And finally, present in the death and the resurrection on the cross of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Alright, somebody give me the scripture. John 11, 1 through 45 says this. NIV verse says this. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one that poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love, because he loves Lazarus, didn't he? The one you love is sick. And when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not, everybody say not.
Not.
The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus just as much as he did Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews were trying to stone you, and yet you're going to go back." And Jesus answered him, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see this world's light. They see by this world's light. It is when a person walks by night that they will stumble, for they have no light." Amen. After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him." His disciples declared or replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of this death, but the disciples thought that he meant a natural sleep. So then he told them plainly that Lazarus is dead. "And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb. How many days?
4 days.
That's a lot of days in those times, ain't it? He'd been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here..."
Amen.
I think we preached that one last year, didn't we? "If you had been here..." Oh, something different would have happened. "If you would have been here, my brother would have not died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she had got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb and mourned there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, just like we should do every day. Amen. "Lord, if you had been here..." Duplication, right? "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would still be alive." Or would not have died, same thing. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And the shortest verse in the Bible happened.
Yeah,
Jesus wept.
Amen.
He loved him so much, didn't he? He loved Lazarus.
Yes.
He wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept him from dying? And Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave where a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. I love this part. But Lord, Martha's like, nope, ain't gonna do it. But Lord, Martha, sister of the dead man, by this time, there's a bad odor, for he has been in there for 4 days. Surely he stinketh, right?
Amen.
Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called out a loud voice, Lazarus, come out.
Yeah.
What happened? Stinky boy got up and walked. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with stripes of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to him, take away the grave clothes and let him go. Take away the grave clothes and let him go. That's the same thing he says to us when we accept him as our Savior. Take away their grave clothes and let them go. Turn them loose, so to say. Amen. And the last scripture says, therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. Amen. His popularity just went up some dealing with a stinky man. Amen. Paul to the Romans. In Romans 8-11 states that through Christ, the whole person, not just part, amen, but the whole person of the believer is saved. The whole person of the believer is raised up. Amen. Not just part of us, but the whole person of a believer is redeemed. Amen. The whole person of a believer is saved, raised up, and redeemed. The realm of the flesh is the realm to be left behind. And the realm of the spirit is where true life is to be found. But there is no holistic dichotomy here between flesh and spirit. Since the believer lives with the Spirit of God, unfleshed in the body, so that his whole person will live in conformity with that Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Spirit refers to the baptism of the person and his consequent moral life. Today, though, we turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 1 through 45, which tells us the story of the raising of that stinky man, Lazarus, from the dead. This is a powerful and well-known story, isn't it? Everybody talks about it. Even non-believers have heard about the story of Lazarus being brought back to life. Amen. But I want to focus specifically on the theme of passion through it today. I don't think we've done that before. In this story, we see the passion from several characters. First, we see the passion of Martha and Mary, the sisters of Lazarus, who send a message to Jesus saying, what? Lord, he whom you love is ill. He whom you love is sick. How many of us, when we get that message that we got to love one that's sick, how many of us drop everything we're doing and go right then? Boom. Time to go. Gotta go see her. Amen. They're a passion. For their brother's clear. They love him deeply. And they're desperate for him to be healed. Next, we see the passion of Jesus Himself, who, when He hears the news of Lazarus' illness, He says, "This illness does not lead or will not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God, being Him," amen, being Jesus, "may be glorified through it." Jesus knows that He has the power to heal Lazarus. He could have done it from where he was. Amen. But there's a plot, there's a story that has to go through so that He'd get all glory, honor, and praise. And more people truly believe at the end of the story that He is truly the Messiah. He also knows that that event will ultimately serve that greater purpose, to glorify God. And finally, we see the passion of Lazarus, who's been dead for 4 days. Surely he stinketh, right? When Jesus arrived, Jesus commanded him to come out the tomb. And what did he do? He didn't wait 4 days to come out, did he? Lazarus said, "Yeah, boy, I'm out of here. I ain't dead no more. I ain't going to stink no more. I'm getting out of this tomb." Amen. He did it with passion. He did it right then. Amen. He didn't wait around. And he came forward then, still wrapped in his burial clothes. Imagine the passion that it took for Lazarus to come back to life after those 4 days in the tomb. This was a true miracle, wasn't it? Especially after that long. Nobody sleeps, just falls asleep for that long. Amen. That was a true miracle. And it's a testament to the power of their faith and the power of their passion. We open up with a fresh scene of unprecedented sorrow, don't we? Lord Jesus received that message from His sisters, of who Lazarus, when confronted with the gravity of his condition, tried the only thing possible. They turned to the Lord, who had said, "Everything He does is good. He makes the deaf hear and the dumb speak." Mary turned to Jesus with that feeling on her heart, knowing that He would do that, knowing He would make the deaf hear and the dumb speak. It is a cry that each one of us, who would like our loved ones to live forever without ever leaving us. The Lord Jesus inexplicably, I'll get that out, He waited, didn't He? Again, He didn't just pop over. He could have just popped over right as soon as He got that message. Or that Snapchat or whatever they wanted to send. But He didn't, did He? He waited a further 2 days before heading to Lazarus' home. Even then, He only left with His disciples when He divinely knew that His friend, Lazarus, was dead. The particular detail from the gospel tells us that the Word of God was made man for the love of us all. Also, that His look of love is always upon us, waiting for that meeting of immense joy that will happen in eternity when we meet Jesus face to face. Amen. Upon Jesus' arrival in Bethany, there's a new, apparently inexplicable development in the story. First Mary, then her sister Martha, and behind them all the Jews who had united with them, converge on Jesus with a certainty that if there was a response to their sorrow, that it would come from Him. They knew where their sorrows lied. They knew where their joy in the morning lied, and that was within Jesus. Amen. And they were not irreligious people, were they, who were looking to Jesus for a solution. They profoundly accepted Israel's faith in the final resurrection. And so even this event was not ultimately inexplicable. In fact, Martha said to the Lord, I know that he will rise again at that resurrection on the last day. However, knowing it's in relation to the Lord, nothing that was authentically human in them or their cry of sorrow would be lost. Prior to that, the only consolation came from the faith of the time. In this last time, worked by the Lord, I guess it's out of the same. In this last time, worked by the Lord before his triumphant entrance into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. Everything seems to flow to that new reality inaugurated with Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Sharing our existence, Jesus had loved us with a supreme passion, with that virginal love that doesn't speak or seek to possess the heart of the other, but the love and truth with a delicate insistence right up to sacrificing himself for us. Amen. This infinite delicacy and attention to everyone, he was able to be moved by those who were like him, by ties to the most profound friendship, who understood they could not be anything but God's presence among them. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are truly the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." So what can we learn about that? What can we learn about that passion? What can we learn from his story about passion? First, we see this. Passion can move us to action. Mary and Martha loved their love for their brother, moved them to reach out to Jesus to ask for help. When we are passionate about something, we're more likely to take action on it, aren't we, and make it happen. Secondly, we see that passion can be used for the glory of God. Jesus knew that Lazarus' illness and subsequent resurrection would serve a greater purpose. And he used his passion and his power to glorify God. When we're passionate about our faith, we can use that passion to further the kingdom of God and bring glory to his name. Amen. And finally, we see that passion can lead to miracles. Lazarus' resurrection was a true miracle, wasn't it? Made possible, though, by his faith and the passion of those around him. When we're passionate about something, we can move mountains and achieve things that otherwise might seem impossible. Amen. In conclusion, let us remember the story of Lazarus and the passion of those involved. Let us be inspired to be passionate about our faith, to be passionate about our relationships, to be passionate about our goals. And let us use that passion to make a difference, not just in our own little world, amen, but in the whole world, and to bring glory to God, amen. May God bless us with all this passion to live fully and purposely in his service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, I thank you for getting Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your blessing and your message today, Lord. Lord, I ask that you put a new passion upon each one of our hearts today, Lord. Lord, that will move us, guide us, and direct us to a higher calling, Lord, a higher plane, Lord. Lord, that we may be each be used as stinky Lazarus was of Jesus. Lord, that you would put somebody in front of us, Lord, that we could tell about your mercy, your grace, and your love especially at this point in time, Lord, as we get ready to celebrate your death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for your word spoken, not mine, Jesus. Lord, we ask you to be with us till the next appointed time. In your name I pray. Everybody say it.
Amen. Amen.